That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this sunny morning, April 15th, 2017. It's a beautiful day outside, even though it's tax day. The kinder, gentler government gives you till Monday to turn your taxes in. How about that? That's mighty nice of them to do that. Anyway, good morning to you, the remnant, and good morning, John.
Morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say again, good morning to you, the remnant. Thanks for tuning in. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, and be glad to take your call. And well, we better start off with a word of prayer. And John, we'll ask if you would do that for us.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do indeed have much to be thankful for. Our cup runneth over. Lord, we thank you for this time that you set aside every Saturday morning for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, give us a special anointing that we would speak about the things that you would have us to speak about. Father, your word says when two or more are gathered, then you're there also, and we meet that requirement. So Lord, we just ask that you would join us and bring your myriads of angels as well, Father, that this kind of gathering, this dedication to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be pleasing in your sight, Lord, that there's a group of people that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And Lord, as we come upon this day that the world calls Easter tomorrow morning, Lord, we know that it's founded upon pagan principles and wicked pasts, but can't help but think that hundreds of thousands or even millions of people that are gathering just to at least recognize our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is a good thing. So, Lord, I pray that you would bring those that you can to repent, Lord, those that are not of their father, the devil, those that are not those creatures of instinct that your word says are to be captured and killed and destroyed. Lord, those that aren't the ones that come only to steal and kill and destroy, but those that can, bring them to repentance. Remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in a mighty way this Easter in these church services throughout the land. And Lord, that they would just realize that there's something wrong. There's something that they're missing. They've been lied to. Lord, cause them to hunger and thirst for the truth. Help them to understand that they too are to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, grant them a revelation. Grant us a revival, Lord, in this land. We know that there's a partial revival, Lord. But we know that we can be intercessors. Lord, your word shows us that many times in the Bible, that your people who are called by your name, if they do humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will forgive their sin and you will heal their land. Father, we know that we're in a time that your word speaks of in Matthew 24, that we will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and that we are not to be frightened. For your word says that those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Your word says nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all of these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Father, we know that only one thing can thwart the destruction that you have planned, the destruction that is deserved, Lord, for most of the world. But we continue to stand in that gap, Lord. We continue to cry out for grace and mercy. We continue to ask that you would have your Holy Spirit lead us, Lord. I pray as we prepare for this Branson gathering, this family reunion coming up in early June. Lord, the theme is sanctification. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in your people right now, Lord, and that you would bring us to that place of complete obedience, where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, where we put aside our own selfish wills and wants and desires. And our desire is to serve you, to do your will, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer and our petition, Lord. And we thank you that you are a God that not only hears our prayers, but he answers them. So, Father, we cry out the situation that's going on in North Korea and the U.S. and China and pretty much World War III, Lord, looks like it's on the brink. We just pray that there would be no arrogance, Lord, that you would bring a spirit of humility, and that the destruction may be postponed. But first and foremost, not really knowing how to pray, Lord, we just pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that we would be found, just like your word says. Will there be any found with faith? Father, let us be found with faith. in the end, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
You know, as we were talking about it, you know, the scripture that came to my mind is Matthew 24:6. It says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come."
Yep.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And
first,
you know,
things.
It's wars and rumors are wars. People, I mean, that's a pretty common scripture. I remember thinking a lot about that, you know, 10 years ago. There's been a lot of times where, you know, it's happened. It seems like everything's escalated, and, you know, this time that we're living in right now, it's a little more intense than things have been, because you've got so many different players. You know, I mean, and I think it's very possible that that's what the scripture is talking about, is wars and rumors of wars, because we know that there's wars going on. You know, we're hearing rumors of wars from everything from Korea to China to Russia to Afghanistan to Iraq to Syria. I mean, there's a lot of players in it right now. And, you know, I think the most important thing to remember is, you know, the scripture gives us an answer to it, too. It says, you know, be not alarmed. See to it that you are not alarmed. You know, that's a commandment. That's something that we are to do. Sometimes that's something that, you know, it's not easy. It's like fretting over evildoers. It's something that's easier said than done, but, you know, it's truth. So, you know, we got to make sure that's where our mindset is.
Agreed. We have it, and we have it internationally, those countries that you mentioned, as well as in the country. We've seen Christians come under attack. We've seen this MS-13 gang thrive and grow all over the country. Just because the media doesn't cover it doesn't mean that they're not thriving and growing and getting stronger footholds in the larger cities. It can be daunting to look at just the news, to look at just the alternative media, to look at truly what's happening in the what you might call the dark side in the inner cities and in the big cities and even in the small cities. MS-13, didn't they have a gang shooting down in La Porte? Just, what was it, a year or two ago?
It's been several years.
Yeah. La Porte, the town where the church is, little one-light town, has a red light, a school, and a post office, and what, four bars, and two banks, two churches, and gang shooting in there. And so you're right. We see these things, wars, rumors of wars. Those are wars in our own neighborhood as well. But I like how you put it. We are not to be afraid. We are to trust in the Lord. We are to continue to do right. We're to continue to think right. We're continue to tell others about the good news. These things have to happen. They are the birth pangs. The time, it is the time of change. And it's been, what's it been? Probably two generations that this country has been turning to the left and running that way as fast as it could, away from God, trying to take God out of every vestige of society, be it government, education, marriage. Marriage is that God ordained marriage between one man and one woman, and that is one of the foundations of our society. It always has been, and we see that the very foundations are being undermined. It's being tried to anyway, and when you have two generations, 30, 40 years, this has been going on. That's not going to turn around unless God intervenes drastically. That doesn't turn around overnight. It doesn't, but there does seem to be that new spirit in the land, a different aroma, you might say, of things shifting from that downward spiral.
Yeah, another scripture that comes to mind is also found in Matthew 24, and one that we've used for years as well, 21 and 22. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Well, I don't know about you, but the fact that we're knocking on May already sure seems to me that time has continued to speed up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's time has been sped up. I mean, it just seems like a blink of an eye, and you know, another month goes by.
Yes. Yeah, it sure does.
I think another thing we have to realize is too that when you look at World War II, the Japanese, they had their kamikazes, and that's quite an advantage in war. And the Asian mind is not the same as the European mind, and the Asian mind, rather than surrender or admit defeat or be shamed from a position of authority, they don't care how many people die because of that. And that's the thing that's concerning. If this was Anglo against Anglo, then there's a reasoning that takes place. But with the Asian mind, Pastor taught us that
they have no respect for human life at all. I mean, you know, they kill people over there, I mean, on a regular basis. There's people that fall down, you know, people that I've talked to that have spent over a lot of time over in Asia. I've only spent a limited amount of time over there, but there's people that when they've told me all kinds of stories about they're walking down the street and somebody falls down and they're having a heart attack or they're having a stroke or they're having, they're dying right before people's eyes, and everybody just keeps walking. They don't even stop. They don't stop to help somebody. They don't stop. And that's the way that they treat their own. And, imagine if they're treating their own people like that, and that's the way that they're conditioned to be. And I'm not saying that all of them are like that. Don't get me wrong, because, you know, there's good sects of people in different areas. There's a remnant all across there, but it happens on a very regular basis, and that's the way that the masses look in the cities, and those are the ones that we're going to be fighting. And, you know, if they treat their own like that, imagine how they treat their enemies.
Yeah, if you look at our military, it's been effeminized and infiltrated, and, I mean, I believe that they probably are stronger fighters in a lot of ways than a lot of our soldiers, you know, that have been dumbed down, for lack of a better word. But the other thing is, just remember, it was only a few months ago that Kim Jong-un or whatever, he poisoned his half-brother. Remember that? He was at the airport and somebody came up and just stabbed him in the neck with a syringe. And he's laying on the ground foaming at the mouth.
Yeah. Well, like Jason said, there's no respect for life in the Eastern culture. In the Middle Eastern culture, there's very little respect for life. There is very little respect for education, very little respect for life, no respect for women. We've seen that in the Muslim invasion, the Islamic invasion that has happened in Europe and has happened here in the United States. That there is no Christianity is one of the very few ways of life that actually has respect for life, respect for the youth, for the children, respect for their elders, respect for the women. And that is one of the reasons that it is the most attacked. The mainstream media calls it religion, but it is one of the most attacked ways of life right now, and has been definitely in varying degrees. But the massive change that's been seen in the Middle East Jason, I think it ties right in with that. It's a different way of thinking. You mentioned how the Eastern man thinks different. That Middle Eastern man does as well. It's just, John, when you mentioned the kamikaze, we've seen that in that same MO, you might say, that same method of operation in the war that the Islamic faith, that the Muslims have declared on the rest of the world, basically, that same type of kamikaze attack.
Yep. Here's something interesting that I read last night. Don't know if it's true or not, but I wouldn't doubt that it could be. It says in that China and North Korea, have since 1961 been party to the Sino-North Korean Mutual Aid and Cooperation Friendship Treaty, whereby China is bound to render military aid by all means to North Korea against any outside attack. The treaty was extended twice and currently is valid until 2021. So, I don't know about you, but I don't trust the Chinese.
No.
Nope,
not at all.
So we can say that they're our ally and that they're trying to defuse the situation over there, but I think we better be careful.
Well, they're saying that, yeah, they've even found in the North Korean rockets, they've found all types of Chinese components and Chinese. The North Koreans have never, all the way back to the Korean War, they are a backwards people. They have not advanced the way the people of Japan have after World War II. The North Koreans just have not. And what they have has come from China. It's as simple as that.
And Russia.
That's just all there is to it. You see the pictures.
I didn't realize they had a submarine fleet. Did you know that? Apparently they got like 50 submarines, some nuclear. A lot of that stuff is from the Cold War when Russia collapsed, and they probably bought a bunch of that stuff. But
and a lot of that stuff is stuff that we gave them.
Yeah, after the Korean War.
Korea too.
Yeah, years ago. After we started, a lot of those parts that even the stuff that they assembled their missiles from was recycled stuff that came from the United States. It was manufactured here in the United States.
And we've educated
all this scrap.
Yep, and we've educated them. We have recruited the foreigner into our universities and into our colleges, given them a free ride, free education, free room and board, and educated our enemies. Tell me how stupid that is, to be able to do what they're doing today.
Well, look at how much treason has taken place, too, over the last probably, I don't know, at least 30 years of military secrets, things that were developed through people who have the mind of God, who
yes.
were given these things probably as a defense just for this country, the true JERUSALEM, but who have hoarded themselves for money and sold the secrets to China and to other nations. I mean, this stuff's been proven. I think it was in 2009 that they changed the minimal penalty for treason to a $5,000 fine or something like that, and where it used to be death penalty, period. Well, because they're all committing it, they're not going to want to have a death penalty on treason when every one of them is committing it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. When you look at how they've improved these, even their missile defense system and their missile system and these nuclear bombs. This last week we were testing nuclear bombs in Utah. That's one of the things that is what people don't realize is, yeah, you talk about sending a nuclear bomb over there, and I've heard it said, oh yeah, we just need to send a nuke over to Korea, we can just clean them out with one nuke. That as soon as that nuclear radioactivity gets up into the air atmosphere, it can go around the world in, you know, a matter of days, and it comes down everywhere. You know, you're talking about just massive destruction and the cancer rates and what happens after that. What happens, you know, hundreds of miles downwind of where that something like that goes off. And I mean, you're not talking, you know, killing people and them dying. You're talking about generations being affected by the cancer and the disease and the sickness that brings on.
Yes.
So look at Fukushima, what it's doing that we don't hear about.
Yeah. Chernobyl. Yeah. I mean, second, third generation people from Chernobyl, or at least second generation, you know, that, you know, are still getting cancer and deformed in all different ways, shapes, and forms. I mean, it's, you know, it's something that you know, I think you're playing God when you start messing around with that stuff. And it's not to be, it's something that's not to be taken lightly.
No. That's the problem with World War III. This time it's going to be a put, you know, if it does come to play, it's going to be a button-pushing war, and those kind of things can't be taken
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
Well, that's why we're to be on our knees and try to be intercessors for grace and mercy, unless it is the end times and whatever. I guess the only safe way to pray is that Lord's will be done.
Amen.
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 I agree with
that. And we'll be obedient to you up until that day, Lord Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Up until that day and beyond, always.
And then we'll serve. And then we'll serve you from that day forward.
Yes. And that, you know, John, you mentioned that. That is part of the peace and the knowing. Back to Romans 8:28. We know. We know. It doesn't say we hope that God works all things for good. It doesn't say we believe that God causes all things to work for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say we hope that God does this, or we believe, or we read, or it says we know that God causes all things to work together. And he sits in the heavens and laughs. The kings of the earth make their plans, and that's what this is. The kings, the modern day kings of North Korea and the other nation states around there, they sit in there, you know, they make their plans, and our Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. They talk about this an EMP strike. Oh, an EMP strike could just turn everything out. Yeah. God could send an EMP strike right from the sun that would do that as well. That would take away that like you mentioned, that button pushing war. Take it away from everybody.
It's funny how they fear all these other nations, but they don't fear God.
Right.
But you know, the interesting thing is what we're witnessing, if you've been following it, which I have, is a game of chicken, really. The U.S. is bringing in aircraft carriers and a complete fighting force that could just annihilate North Korea, and they know it. But again, we go back to that Asian mindset. They don't mind dying, and if they're going to die, they're going to take as many people as they can. And China knows that they're going to be affected, just like Jason was saying. And even if they detonate those bombs right there in their country, that radiation is going to travel, and it's going to affect China before it affects us, but it will affect the whole world.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what he's saying, is that if he goes out, he'll leave a mark. And, well, yeah, that will definitely be a mark. But there comes a point where there's such destruction that there's no turning back.
Amen. Well, folks, we have the phone lines opened up, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call in, if you have a comment or a question. Want to remind you...
I imagine you talked about...
I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I imagine, Jason, you talked about the Tomahawks and Assad's Air Force last week, right?
Yeah, we talked about that a lot. You know, and you know, one of the things that, I mean, I tell you what, I was really happy. I got one of the listeners, John, he sent me a bunch of stuff this last week on Assad. And, I tell you what, I did a bunch of research on him. And, you know, it's one of those things is, you know, they're making him out to a tyrant. And if you win the, if you, anything that they show on TV, you know, is they're showing a, you know, a Muslim and, you know, a terrorist and, you know, making him out just to be the Antichrist. I'll tell you what, you know, I posted some stuff up on the Newswire this week, and it's worth taking a look at. I mean, the guy's not at all what they're making him out to be. And I was actually very impressed with the guy and some of the things that they've done over there in Syria. You know, between that, those bombings there, and between, we won't go into it, we talked about it a lot last week, but, you know, between that and then, you know, this bomb that happened over in Afghanistan, you know, just a couple days ago, you know, that one was one of the biggest bombs that has ever been set up that was non-nuclear. And
it is the biggest.
Yeah, it is. It is.
The mother of all bombs, Moab.
Yeah, yep. Think about that. Think about that that acronym, that naming, Moab. Moab, you read through the Old Testament. We've been reading through the Bible and over the last few years, and Moab has always been an enemy of God, an enemy of God's people. They do these things for a reason.
Yeah, and interesting enough is if you look into it, the place that was hit over there in Afghanistan was that was actually built by the United States CIA, and so you know that really makes you puts another twist into it, and really makes you wonder what's going on.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, when you look at North Korea and China and all this, you can't help but turn back to Ezekiel 38 and start reading there about Gog and Magog.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think there's a lot of things that are prophetic, and it very well is possible that we're going into the Ezekiel portion of Scripture as a prophetic times for what we're living in, because you read where it's going to take you months to bury the dead.
Yes.
You know,
nine months.
And, you know, I mean, that's something that's never happened before. I mean, I don't think that you can find that through history where it's taken months and months and months. I mean, and just to fathom that is to take that long, having that many dead people, to take months on end to be burying them, I mean, that's huge.
It is. It's destruction, like as the word says, like has never been seen before. But the word says it, and so it must be. It must be. We may not understand exactly when or exactly where, but it does seem that we are heading headlong into that prophetic time.
Yeah, you know, we talk about and what an advantage it is for them to not care about their life and be willing to lay it down. But we need to never forget the advantage that we have, that the worst thing they can possibly do to us is give us eternal life. That's a huge advantage in fighting a war.
Amen. Amen.
These stupid Muslims think that they're going to have 37 virgins or whatever it is, but we know what our God's promised us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And John, as you mentioned earlier, the world celebrates, part of the world anyway, celebrates Easter tomorrow. We try to encourage people to celebrate.
That one I agreed with. 39:11, it says, on that day I will give Gog a burial ground there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will block off those who would pass by. So they will bury Gog there with all his hordes, and they will call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I picture when you read that, Jason, I picture bulldozers.
Yeah.
We've seen that in the horrors of war, from the pictures from World War II and places like that, and I picture that. And we have to remember, it is not them burying us for 7 months. It's us being obedient to God, cleansing the land. Isn't that what it said? Cleansing the land. We've read about it in the Old Testament. How things similar to that happened. Cleansing the land. How do we cleanse the land? Well, this false Judeo-Christianity that seems to have taken over the minds of many of the Christians even here. Go back and read your Bible. God has not changed. He does not change. And the land will be cleansed. The land will be cleansed. His land will be cleansed. And God is not slow, as some consider slowness, but the Bible says he is patient, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, he will allow that for a time. And it may be that times and a half. But he allows that for a time, and then finally, time's up. Time's up. And we read about that in Revelation. It says, you know, finally, when time's up, those that are filthy, they're going to keep being filthy. There's no more time for repentance. And those that are holy will remain holy. And that's it. And if there's ever been a time that we are to be a Bible-reading people, a Bible-believing people, a people that are examining ourselves and making sure that our life is right, making sure that we are doing His will and not our will, testing the spirits that we hear, that we feel, that we see, that we experience, testing the spirits to make sure that they are of God, testing our thoughts, recognizing our thoughts, if they're ours or if they're God's or if they're the enemy's. I got a phone call this past week, and it was a person had listened sporadically on and off for the last few years, and he had these deep questions that it reminded me of our pastor getting questions sometimes, and our pastor saying, "Listen, this is the 11th hour. This is not the time to go back and try to lay this groundwork of who God's people are and who Esau is." That's been done. That's been done. It's getting a little more advanced now. And it's getting a little more advanced in that we have to make sure that we are not boxed into some religion, but that we are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we are fighting this spiritual battle spiritually, and that we are right. Many times we're told, examine ourselves, examine yourself, make sure. I think there's another part of that even in our even in our Bible reading for today, 2 Corinthians, the last three chapters of 2 Corinthians. And in, at the end, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. And that's something we continually have to do to make sure that nothing has crept in. Examine yourselves. We read about that in the Lord's Supper talk earlier in Corinthians. But it's the time to be the wise virgins. It's the time to be found practicing righteousness. Practicing righteousness. so that when these things happen, and they very well may happen, we know that that those that believe, that those that are obedient, that those that truly love God, that our forefathers made it through. They made it through the destructions, the captivities. God punishes his people, but he always has his remnant. He has always provided for his remnant, hasn't he? Always, no matter what. And God doesn't change. He will continue. John, that you've been mentioning more and more and encouraging the people, when our obedience is complete, we're then we'll be ready, and God will be ready to punish all disobedience. It's when our obedience is complete. And that runs completely opposite of this mamsy-pamsy blah that's put out by the Judeo-Christian church world, that there's nothing you can do. Oh, just stay this the way you are. God loves you whether you're no matter what. And don't change. Oh, no, I'm the good Lord willing, I'm bringing a little bit at the review of the news in the morning about this filthy speaking, profane, Bible disbelieving so-called pastor out in Washington that basically says, well, I don't care what the Bible says. And that's where this false theology, this false Christianity has gotten to today.
Well, he's no pastor.
No, he's not. No, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing is what he is. But we see that all over, sometimes more blatant than others. And it's part of that war. It's part of that spiritual battle that we fight. When they ask Jesus himself, Lord, I'm not there in my Bible, but it's like, are there not many that are going to be saved? And Jesus basically says, yeah, not many. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Broad. It's wide. It includes everybody. Narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. Narrow is the way. And so you can't just do and think and be anything and everything and obey the Word of God. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. Folks, phone lines are open. 307, there's a caller right there. Let's try that. 307-745-5913. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning. Well, the light is lit up and the mute button is off, but I'm not hearing anybody there. Well, caller, you might have to call back.
Well, you might want to invite people to church and let them know the schedule.
Yeah, we starting a little earlier on Sundays. We've trying to help our people out on the East Coast a little bit. But if you come starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 on the East Coast, we'll, good Lord willing, and as they say, the creek don't rise, we'll have a scriptural review of the news for you there. And we'll follow that up with a Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. And it is encouraging that we get phone calls and emails and letters of people that are watching and seeing these messages. And that's the good thing about truth. Truth doesn't go out of style. Truth is truth. And truth resonates with his remnant. And so we encourage you, tune in, have a notepad, be prepared to take notes. That's what these timeless truth teachings are. They do encourage us and they do teach us. And then at 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast, our brother John, you're going to have a little message for us tomorrow, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
We have some some good music lined up along the lines of tomorrow being Resurrection Sunday, the way the world looks at it. And so we can recognize that and praise our Lord. We know that he came out of the grave, and we're going to rejoice in that. We do every Sunday, but we're going to rejoice in that tomorrow as well. We'll have some music. John has a message. We'll have some a communion service. And then we'll have second church. We'll play our pastor's message again in case you didn't get up early enough to catch it the first time. So you can view all that at scriptures4america.org. And if you don't have a good internet connection, you can listen to it there. You can listen to it on your phone. I think we've got the phone numbers updated now. I know we've had some problems with that for a while. And talking with our broadcast guy, Todd, I think they've got that worked out. And I think we've updated all the numbers. But, Jason, let me, if you're up on that, this is the number I've got. You can tune in. You can call in on your phone, 712-432-9992. Is a number right now that you can call in and listen, and that may change, but that's working right now. So we encourage you. That's another way you can tune in, another way you can join for fellowship. And of course, the messages will be broadcast out on the shortwave, and they are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Praise God. The word of truth, the gospel, continues to go out to all creation.
Yeah, amen. Changing the theme a little bit. I don't know if you guys saw this. This one caught my eye last night as well. Children as young as 13 being treated for addiction to smart mobile phones. So
wow.
There's children... Yeah, children as young as 13 are checking into U.S. treatment centers to try to break their addiction to mobile devices. Well, you can see that there's probably not a single greater conduit to demons than these stinking smartphones. And the enemy knows that, too. And they barrage our children with all kinds of things to keep their minds on things that are not holy, that are not biblical, that are not pure. And it's a battle that we as the patriarchs have to really be leery of and to watch diligently.
Yes, agreed.
Personally, half the time I feel like stomping them under my feet, but there's things you can do. I would say I would not allow your children to be alone with those stupid devices. I would say that at a certain time every evening, those devices need to be on the counter, plugged in, and there's nothing. You know, what did we do before phones? There's really no communication that's critical, and we really need to ourselves try to curb ourselves from. It's kind of pathetic. You go out to dinner or something like that, and it used to be that a family would be talking or talking to the person at least sitting next to them, and now everybody's on their phones. And I believe the enemy knows that, and it's probably done more damage to society than anything in such a short period of time, I would have to say.
Yeah, and it's not just the teens. It is all over. And as I say that, I get a text on my phone from a brother that's listening in. And so there can be some positives, but the argument there is that, absolutely, there is. Just like the Bible being printed, that's a very positive thing. Not all books are bad. But you have to be able to have discernment. You have to be able to, like you wrote in that article, what was it, last month or month before, John, testing the spirits. That is what we have to do. We have to test the spirits. Boy, there's a fiction, Christian fiction book out, and we carry a few Christian fiction books, but we've read them, And we certainly believe that they are in line with Bible teachings and with biblical principles. But there's one out there, big hit, bestseller, just made a new movie out of it called The Shack. And let me tell you, The Shack is the outhouse shack. Going to talk a little bit about that in the morning. The author, let me give you just one quote. I think I've got it here from the author of this. The author says that it is theology. The Shack is theology. Theology wrapped in a story. And it presents God as... this all-loving black female Mama Luisa or something like that. That's God. That's the theology that The Shack puts out. And let me tell you something, folks. It's not biblical theology. It is a theology. It's a feel-good. Oh, that God that just forgives everybody, loves everybody. That's not what the Bible says. One of the names of our God is jealous. Jealous. Our God is a jealous God. He has not changed. He's jealous for his people. And that is something that's one of the benefits of the cross. He is so jealous for his people. His word is law, but he made a way. He made a way to bring his people back to him. But it's not for everyone. The Bible says so. Jesus Christ himself said so. He said on that day there will be those, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he says, I'm going to say to you on that day, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That law hasn't been done away with. That law was there before it was codified and marked down on those Ten Commandments and given to our forefathers. And that law is still there today. Christ just fulfilled it. Didn't do away with it. It is still there. We still are to be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Yeah, speaking of being texted, I got a text from a brother that said go to Romans 9:22-23. We'll go ahead and read that.
Yeah.
What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, and read on in verse 25. I will call those who are not my people, and her who is not beloved, beloved. And down in verse 27, though the number of the sons of Israel be like the sand of the sea. Now that was the promise to Abraham. That was the promise. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. It says it is the remnant that will be saved. Now that's quoting the Old Testament. Here we see it again in the New Testament. Believe it or not, doesn't say the world gets saved. The world doesn't want to be saved. But the remnant does. And the remnant knows that it has to do certain things. Yes, Jesus did it all at the cross to make it available. But you still have to do. You still have to do. The thoughts occurred to me. You can believe in electricity. And you guys tell me if this applies. You can believe in electricity your whole life. But if you want the benefit of electricity, you got to flip that wall switch, right? If it's midnight and you need the light on in the room, I believe there's electricity in the wires. I believe the electricity is going to the light. I believe this switch will turn it on. But if all you ever do is believe, you're going to stay in the dark. The Bible says even the demons believe, and at least they shudder. We have to do more. And I guess this comes up because I just hear more and more about, I believe. I believe and I'm saved. I believe and I'm saved as that person lives a sinful life. No, you're not. But you can believe in that electricity all you want, but you have to do. You have to do a work. You have to flip the switch. And then you get the light. You have to be. The Bible tells us to be doers and not hearers only. And excellent, excellent, excellent scripture.
Yeah, early on, well, last week, I guess, in April 5th through the 8th, we were in the book of Mark, and boy, the teachings in that book of Mark concerning things that we've been speaking about lately, basically going back to Mark 16, 14 through 16, which says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them, for they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Amen.
But the example after example in the beginning of Mark there in the Bible reading plan, I mean, my book, my Bible pretty much turned yellow.
Amen. Amen. And it that those words have always been there, right, John? But when you read them this time,
yeah,
they have a deeper meaning.
Greater
they have a greater understanding that we get. When you read that in Mark, that giving of the great commission, now that's the words of Jesus. But when you read the life of Saul of Tarsus, who was converted to the Apostle Paul, all those examples, all that happened to him, every bit of that, as a double witness, those that believe.
Yep.
And what did Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, oh, he had his experience. He had his Holy Spirit experience on the road to Damascus, and then he got baptized. Then he got baptized and had his name written in the book of life. Well, guys, there's the hour. Time, she's speeding up. It's gone. We thank you for joining us. Thank you, Remnant, for joining us. If you want to send us an email, our email, preacher@sfaw.org. If you have an interesting news story, send it to jason@sfaw.org, and he'll get it up on the SFAWBN Newswire. We thank you for joining us, and we encourage you, join us for church tomorrow. And it'll be a blessing to you if you do. Well, thanks, men, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Thank you.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.